All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoons Namus. The 5th Congressional District, the new 5th, is basically the northern 20% of Marion County, some parts of Pike Township, some parts of Washington Township to include Nora and Williams Creek and the area around Keystone at the Crossing that it comes down, includes Broad Ripple. It includes this new, I don't know, who invented South Broad Ripple? Who came up with this silver? What? I missed that meeting. Yeah, it delves down. Down a little bit of Meridian Kessler, a little narrow tinge of Butler Tarkington, a good part of the northern 20% of Lawrence Township, all of Hamilton County, I think all of Madison County goes all the way up to Kokomo, almost to Kokomo.
It does go. Hi, Amos.
Hi.
It's Susan. It goes to Howard County, but it doesn't include Kokomo.
It missed it by that much.
Eastern okay. side of Howard County.
See, she knows her district because she's been everywhere.
Zionsville is new.
And the 5th Congressional District has the third largest African-American population of the 9 congressional districts in Marion County. Susan Brooks is a former deputy mayor, a former United States attorney for the Southern District of Indiana, a former highfalutin vice president with Ivy Tech Community College. Now she put her hat in the ring in the primary in the early part of this year and bested a field of high-powered men. Yes, she did. And now she is the Republican nominee, the Republican candidate for Congress of the 5th Congressional District. Susan Brooks joins me live. Welcome.
Hi, Amos. Glad to be here.
How many doors have you knocked on?
Well, I'll tell you what. Because it's 8 counties and it's new, we've been doing a lot more on the phones.
Right.
It's hard to get around 8 counties knocking. Mm-hmm. But we've been doing what we call meet and greets for about 14 months, mm-hmm. where we are at people's businesses, we're in their homes, we're in their living rooms, trying to meet groups of people. And we're going to restaurants. We're just all over the district. We're going to Kiwanis and Rotary and you name, types of places. And we're trying to get there and meet the voters and listen. That's what I think has not been happening in Congress is people aren't listening to the American people. So that's what I've been doing.
So now you have had a great career of service,
both
at the local level, the federal level, the educational level. Why are you running?
Well, and I have been at Ivy Tech since October of 07 and have loved my time at Ivy Tech. But last spring and early summer, things were happening that really were frustrating me. We had a group of 12 people in that super committee that could not reach agreement and come together and try and figure out how to reduce our country's debt and deficit. We had we were losing our credit rating as a country, and people, my kids who were 18 and 21 at the time, I realized that the debt level that we were leaving this next generation a complete mess. Mm-hmm. And also, I've been actually walking into work right up the street here at Ivy Tech on Fall Creek and Meridian with unemployed Hoosiers, with adults, a lot of people who got laid off during the recession, and talked with a lot of job creators, a lot of employers, and the people getting laid off, and realized that, they're working hard to get through school or to get a new skill, and yet job creators were too nervous about creating many jobs. And so I thought we needed a new voice in Congress, so I jumped in.
When you were deputy mayor, we knew, okay, you were working for Steve Goldsmith, we knew you were a Republican, but really didn't know your ideology. When you were United States attorney, you were appointed by a Republican president, but that is a politically neutral position. Ivy Tech is the community college for all Hoosiers. So here you are running for Congress, and there are people that kind of say, wait a minute, Susan Brooks, she's kind of gotten a little conservative, all of a sudden. Did she change, or this is who she was all along, and now it's coming out since she is presenting herself to the public to be the next congressperson for the 5th District?
Well, I will tell – I've never run for office before. Mm-hmm. You're right. Those positions that I've held were appointed positions. I've never run for office before. And so I've never talked or been asked about my positions on things. When people say, are you conservative? Well, yes, I'm conservative, but conservative on what? Or moderate on what? Or, I'm of the opinion that people ought to ask other people what their thought is on a subject. I may be more conservative than the, you know, person asking the question on one, or I might be less conservative than the person asking the question. And so I like to dig into the issues. Mm-hmm. I like to just tell you what my thoughts are on them and then let the voters and let the listeners decide whether or not they think I'm conservative or not. I ran in a very tough Republican primary in a very conservative district. I consider myself a conservative. I might not be as conservative as part of the district, and I might be more conservative than other parts of the district. So I really prefer to talk about the issues and talk about why I'm running and why, you know, what I think is wrong with the country. And I think we don't have enough people working in this country. I think we got to stay focused on education, which I have been through most of my career, and focused on solving problems and bringing sensible, common sense solutions, not get so stuck, quite frankly, on the labels.
The next Congress is going to have to do something about bringing revenue and spending in line. Given that assumption, what do we cut? What would Susan Brooks be advocating cutting in terms of spending?
Well, I actually read, not that I'm having much time to read books these days, but I was given a book out on the campaign trail, which I have read, called The Debt Bomb. Mm-hmm. It was written by Senator Coburn. I strongly encourage you to read it.
From Oklahoma.
Yes, from Oklahoma. He ran. He term limited himself. He's a physician. He then went back home. He then was asked to run for Senate and is term limiting himself again in the Senate. He actually produced, in the time he's been in office, it's called Back in Black. Mm-hmm. And it has gone, it is two huge folders full of ideas. We printed it off. And it goes through agency by agency of the cuts that can be made in agencies. For instance, I've been real involved in the workforce system. Okay. There are apparently 47 different federal programs throughout different federal agencies focusing on job training. Mm-hmm. Do we really need that many? Mm-hmm. Or can we really eliminate some of those administrative costs and bring them together and get more dollars to the workers and the unemployed who really need them? I learned that about our workforce system is that, you know, we as taxpayers pay into the system, but yet so few of the tax dollar actually gets to the worker or the unemployed person who needs that those training dollars. So there are efficiencies like that all across the government that I would like to dig into.
Would that include defense, those things that don't affect, keeping our troops strong, you know, as long as we're going to have troops in Afghanistan or South Korea or any of the Persian Gulf, any of these danger spots where we have to have a military presence?
No, I believe that we will keep the peace in this world and help keep the peace in the world by the strength of our military. So I absolutely advocate for a strong military, strong defense. It kind of goes all the way down to strong public safety, which I've advocated for over, you know, for a decade and more. I can't cite to you all the examples that are in this report, but I encourage you and listeners to pull out this report and to look at it. There absolutely are efficiencies in every level of government. I've learned that, in many ways, a lot of private sector businesses have had to go through exercises like what's called Lean Six Sigma, things where we are squeezing and looking at what our processes are and ways to make their own businesses more efficient. Government can do the same thing. Mm-hmm. We always have to take care of, you know, the people and the groups that need it the most, be that safety net for people who need government services the most. But there really is too much fat in government at all levels, quite frankly, I believe.
How do you, from Susan Brooks's perspective, how do we put people in the 5th District back to work, both those that are out of work in the suburbs, that are out of work here in the city, as well as those who are out of work in the small towns of your district? Because this district is not just driven by Marion County and Hamilton County. You got a lot of small towns in those 8 counties where they're hurting as much as folks that are hurting in Marion County.
No, and the district does go up to Blackford County, which has one of the highest unemployment rates in Grant County. And I was just in Marion yesterday speaking at the Rotary there and, had really watched with a lot of enthusiasm for what Mayor Siebold is doing in trying to bring jobs to Marion, and particularly our communities that were hit by the auto industry, you know, by problems in the auto industry. Those communities are working hard to try and attract businesses to these communities. And while I've been at Ivy Tech, I work closely with IEDC and was involved in presentations to companies, not only to keep companies and to keep employers in our communities, but also to attract new employers. Right. And I got to tell you, they do look at the business climate. They look at what their taxes are going to be. They look at whether or not there's going to be a skilled workforce there. And they look at what kind of regulations are in place or are coming down the pike. And actually, one thing that everyone's talking about, it's probably the hottest issue on the campaign trail, they're looking at their health care costs for their employees. And as health care costs have skyrocketed, it is causing them to not expand at the rate many of them would like to expand, who have the customers in order to expand. So those are all the main things that we have to focus on, I think, and government needs to provide that environment to make it more certain and to try to make us much more business friendly.
Let me go to Lewis at 239-1310. Hi there.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I see you, Gareth.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I would like to ask a quick two-part question. The congresswoman to be, hopefully, in her case.
Hey, thank you. I like the sound of that.
To do something that politicians don't like to do, that's to answer a question with yes or no. We recently found out that, like a lot of other Republicans, Congressman Ryan railed all against the stimulus package all these 2 years to rile up their base. Then come to find out they're sticking their hand in the cookie jar. Can you, A, say that the stimulus package is no good like the rest of them? And if you do make it to Washington, are you on, you asking the Hoosiers to send you to Washington, can you state right here on this radio show right now, yes or no, that you're willing to turn down Grover Norquist and sign any kind of pledges outside of Indiana voters that send you there?
Great question.
Lewis, I actually did not sign Grover Norquist's pledge. And what I am one of the few Republicans that did not sign Grover Norquist's pledge. But make no mistake, I'm not in favor of raising taxes. I don't think that that is the answer to restoring this economy and getting things going again. What I said, because I've been involved in governing, I know how tough it is at the city level and at the federal level. And so I am going to be one of those elected officials, I hope, in 20 days, who will look at laws as they come to me, who will study both the pros and the cons of the pieces of legislation that come before me, and will make a decision based on that. I am not one that believes that signing pledges ahead of time makes sense. I actually think that's part of what's gotten us into the problem that we've gotten into in this country. People have gotten so dug in to their positions, and they are afraid of voting the way that maybe they feel they should have voted because they signed a pledge. And so I have not been in favor of signing pledges of any kind. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Grover Norquist pledge or any pledge. Again, kind of as I said before, bring the position before me. I will do my best to understand from a very practical standpoint how legislation affects people.
Let me, Susan Brooks, let me ask you, there's any congressperson that gets elected, there's pressure to bring the dollars back home to the district. If the next Congress is under pressure from the American people to reduce expenditures and try to figure out how to reduce this gazillion-dollar deficit. How difficult is it to, here's a federal program, you're trying to cut it, but then Mayor Siebold calls you up, or Mayor Ballard calls you up, or the whoever running Fisher's this week, town or city, they call you up, and they say, you know, Congresswoman, we need some money to do this. How are we ever going to tackle these expenses and the deficit when all of us that vote for our member of Congress, we want the bacon brought home here?
And Indiana has been a donor state with respect to taxes.
We're giving them more than we getting back.
And that's exactly right. And I appreciate, and they are our tax dollars. Mm-hmm. And I will fight and be an advocate for Indiana. And we need to compete You know, I do think that the earmark process was a flawed process. I believe that, you know, it had to do a lot more than maybe power than with need. But I think when it comes to, you know, dollars, they ought to be competitively provided to the different jurisdictions. And so if Anderson or if Marion or Indianapolis can demonstrate in a competitive process and compete against other communities across the country that their need is greatest, then I will be a very strong advocate. I've been an advocate my whole career, but I got to have the facts. I got to have the arguments on my side, and I got to be able to know, you know, what we're up against in the competition. So I'll be a strong advocate.
Let me go to D right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, how you doing?
I'm fine.
I have a comment and a question. One, it's interesting when we're looking at Congress and we're looking at the headman for president who says government doesn't create jobs, he's going to create jobs. I think that's sort of interesting that he makes a stand that government doesn't create jobs. He's saying if he's president, he will create jobs. And if the candidate that's on with you now, she's part of this Republican Party, is she with Romney on this or is she against him on this? Can he say in the same breath that government doesn't create jobs, but say, I'm going to create jobs? Or maybe I just need some clarity on the statement.
Susan Brooks?
No, thanks. And I hear what you're saying, and I believe you're referring to Governor Romney, right, in what he said last night. I believe what he either said or means to say is that he has a plan to try to help create those jobs, not that government is creating those jobs, because, again, I don't believe government only creates the government jobs, mm-hmm, whether it's, you know, the federal government jobs. But Congress and the administration, I believe, are in the way of allowing the private sector to create the jobs that the private sector can create. And that means we do need to reform our tax code. We now have the highest corporate tax rate in the world. And so when companies are thinking about coming to Indiana or staying out of this country, or coming to this country, we now, Japan used to have the highest corporate tax rate. Now the United States has the highest corporate tax rate. We now don't always have the most skilled workforce in the world. Other countries are beating us, and we are no longer the best in the world in math and science and in education. And so I think what Governor Romney's trying to say is we've got to level the playing field, and we've got to make it where we have the best business environment so the private sector can create those jobs. Instead, government's doing so many things to get in the way of the private sector creating it.
Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
How are you doing, Amos?
I'm fine.
Okay, you know, I hear everybody saying we don't want to raise taxes, we're against raising taxes, but don't you realize that every time you raise the prices on food, taxes is going up? Every time you raise the price on gas, taxes is going up on us. If we have a major catastrophe in this world, then our insurance rates go up. But it's like now the rich need to be taxed and there's a problem. So my question is, why is it such a big deal on taxing? Because some little man's getting taxed. Why can't the big man get taxed?
Great question.
Well, I think the tax code is a mess, quite frankly. It is so complex because there are too many loopholes. There are too many ways for, you know, a lot of folks to have to, you know, people hire, and nothing against that. You know, we all need accountants and we all need lawyers, you know, they find ways to, because it is such a complex tax code, we need to make it much simpler, much fairer. We need to lower the rates.
Is that a flat tax or just simply?
No, I think different rates, mm-hmm, you know, lower the different rates that exist, right, lower the number of deductions and loopholes and all of that, and make it much simpler, and make it much simpler for everybody, certainly not just for the rich and certainly not just for the poor.
Should there be a minimum tax so that people at the bottom end of the scale pay something, $10, $5, $100?
Well, you know, there is certainly an argument to be said that when people are paying for something, they appreciate it more. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that, you know, the term that's been bantered about, that people do need to have some skin in the game. Mm-hmm. And that when people do get just, you know, handouts without having something to work for. And I'll tell you an example of it. people now, and I've heard this from employers, who have been able to receive 99 weeks of unemployment. Mm-hmm. And granted, they are required to go out and look for jobs. But some people have gotten comfortable, have lowered their standard of living, and have frankly gotten comfortable receiving those unemployment benefits. We ought to require them to go back to school or to get new training, or we ought to require them to do community service so that they realize they're doing something in addition to getting that unemployment, so they don't get so comfortable. Some employers have actually told me they have tried calling some workers back. And I think everybody knows these folks are out there. They have tried calling people back who have said, no, I'm going to wait till week 97. Call mm-hmm. me then, mm-hmm. okay? Or I'm going to get through the summer, and I'm ready to go back
in the fall. I'll see you in the fall.
That mm-hmm. happens. Right. And so I think we need to continue with a strong work ethic in this country and a strong work culture. And that's what I'm focused
on. Real quick, are we going to see record turnout in 20 days?
You know, I was in Grant County yesterday, and I was told that there wasn't record turnout in early voting there. I believe there is very high record turnout. I've heard there's
yeah, early voting is up about 20% here in Marion County.
It's up in Marion. I believe it's up in Hamilton also. We've got to get people out to vote. It's so important.
Standard closing question with all candidates. If people want more information about your campaign, Susan Brooks, Republican candidate for 5th District Congress, how do they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me. Check out our website at SusanBrooks2012.com. But they can email me at Susan@SusanBrooks2012.com. Would love to hear from them.
Susan Brooks would be the first female from the Indianapolis area going to Congress since Julia Carson, the first female Republican from the Indianapolis metropolitan area in
1949 to 59, we've had one Republican woman represent the entire state. So I'll be the first in the state.
Since 1959, I look forward to representing the fifth. That's when Eisenhower was around. All right, Susan Brooks, thanks very much for being with us. Tomorrow, John Gregg, other stuff as well. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow live at 1.